And I'm sitting across from State Representative Kathy LaNatra. Beautiful hot pink ensemble today. I mean that in a non-sexist or non-lookist way.
I appreciate
whatever,
that.
Whatever is floating around out there, but that's terrific. We always try to have a lot of our regular commentators on at the end of the year or the beginning of the year to talk about what's happened during the past year, what you're looking forward to in the next section, the next session. And you, of course, are out of Kingston. You also represent part of Plymouth. And tell me your district, because it's one of the most confusing in the legislature.
Well, first, good afternoon, Christine.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. Yes, and it changed a little bit, too. So I have all of Kingston, all of the small town of Plimpton, half of Halifax, a little piece of Pembroke, a little piece of Middleborough. And as you mentioned, I have five precincts in Plymouth, including the downtown area. So it's like North and West Plymouth.
Tell me a little bit about this past year. Seems like 2023 just came and went.
It did. Blink of an eye.
And then you look back, I know that you wrote down some things. You really got quite a few things done this year. Tell me what some of the highlights were.
I did. You know, I was sitting with my chief of staff, Chris, and I said, let's, you know, just make a little sheet of what we've accomplished over the past year. And here I am with five sheets later and very surprised about that. But there's been some great things. You know, personally, I filed over 30 pieces of legislation. And one I'm so happy that you've highlighted, and that's the officer wellness bill, which is very important to me as a wife of a police officer that was served in 9/11 and as a friend of many police officers and our friend, Jay Creed. His situation. So I'm really pushing for that to get over the finish line this year. We've had a lot of support. I testified with the former chief of the Yarmouth Police and with Jay Creed, and that was a couple weeks ago. And we had
that
many
Rep Ixaros.
Rep Ixaros was on the committee,
okay,
he asked a lot of questions, which was very helpful. A lot of questions were asked, and it was a packed room. So, you know, the impact was real. So I think that was great. And I'm also really pushing for that voter safety bill. We've talked about that many times.
What kind of traction are you getting on that?
So getting a lot of traction. I have the Marine Trades are supporting me this session, which before they were kind of, you know, we need to rewrite a few things that they agreed with, and they did, and they've really been putting their support there. And we've renamed it, so it was the David Hanson Act, but we've added Paul Malone, who used to be the harbor master in Weymouth. And he was such a supporter of this bill. He taught boater safety classes, turned into a great friend, and passed away from pancreatic cancer. And I really, you know, in honor of him, we wanted to name him part
of
this bill.
For people that are not familiar with it, in a nutshell, in a couple sentences, what exactly would it change for people that want to get out in the water with this boater safety bill?
So it would require you to take a safety test to be on the water. And if you don't pass that safety test, then you need to take a boater safety course. And, you know, they've always been offered. You know, they're offered. I've taken one. My children have taken one. They're not expensive. Some of them are free. And so, you know, we require a learner's permit or a license to drive a car. A car has brakes. A boat does not have brakes. And people, it's a great sport. It's a great family event. It's wonderful to be out in the water. But we just want people to be safe, to know the rules. There's rules out there. There's depth finders. There's so much you need to learn before. And if you don't know that, it could turn tragic like that. You know, the weather could come in, you know. So it's really just to add some safety to the water, so when everybody's out enjoying this wonderful community that we have in our coastlines, that they're safe about it.
And I think people need to understand, too, just because we're getting to the end of the calendar year doesn't mean the legislative session is over. You carry into January of next year.
We do. So we start again in January, and we're, you know, straight ahead, looking at more bills. The hearings have not stopped. We continue to have hearings, and we'll continue to have hearings, and those bills will be voted out of their committees, and then they'll go to the floor. So I'm looking forward to a lot of good votes towards the end of the year, and, you know, getting some things done, and hopefully that officer wellness bill and that voter safety bill will be passing the finish line this session.
How do you feel about pay equity?
Oh, pay equity. So our good friend, right, Rep. Josh Cutler, was really big on that. So we passed the pay equity legislation, and that requires employers with 25 or more employees to disclose a salary range and protects an employee's right to inquire about salary ranges. So this helps alleviate the wage gap. Believe it or not, women are still only making 70 cents for every dollar earned by a man.
It.
You do believe it. We've talked about this offline
many
times. So that's important, especially being a mother of a daughter. I do have three sons and a daughter, but, you know, equity is important across the board, not just men, women, people of color, across the board, pay should be equitable.
I absolutely agree. Now, it's interesting. It's when you're working in your job as a state rep, it's not just going and working on legislation. You're in the community a lot, too, and you're overseeing things, and you bring good things to the community, and I know you're involved in the community. Tell me a little bit about how that lunch program that's guaranteeing kids to have lunch, how that's being received. That seemed like a great idea.
It is a great idea. And that's the Universal Lunch Program that you're talking about that provides lunch to every child in school free of charge. And what that does, not only does it alleviate the pressure on parents, because I remember when my older kids were younger, like having to pay, like that was a nut that you had to carry, you know, you had to pay for their lunch. It alleviates that, the free lunch, though that child gets a free lunch and, that whole thing. It's an equal playing field there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. And studies show, right, that the kids that are eating lunch, they're doing much better academically, much better with behavior. Teachers are seeing a difference. They've come to me and said, this is really making an impact on our students.
Yeah, how can kids concentrate when they're hungry?
They can't.
Or they've just had, junk or candy to eat, too.
Candy, or they're embarrassed that they get the free lunch and they're not eating lunch because they don't want others to know. So it's really, and it also includes breakfast, I would like to add, too. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. I know so many kids that run out of the house last minute, and I do it myself. I never eat breakfast because I'm running out last minute. And that impacts you. You know, the brain's not really working, functioning, and your stomach's growling, and you're worrying about that. So it's made a huge impact on our students' lives and the parents' lives as well.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about the Vets Memorial in Kingston.
Oh, this is a great thing. So what we get to do as legislators is we put in, we call them earmarks in the budget, and we put in earmarks for our district and try to advocate for projects in our district that the municipalities wouldn't be able to pay for. And one of the things that Kingston has been trying to raise funds for is a veterans memorial in front of their town hall. Mm-hmm. So I put that in as an earmark, and we were able to get the funding for that. And we have the groundbreaking on Veterans Day this year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they've worked very hard. There's a committee that's worked very hard on this.
Massachusetts in general, I believe, isn't it probably the best state in the nation when it comes to helping veterans and veterans programs?
It really is. And we have veteran service agents, in each town, which other states don't have. And they are a wealth of information.
Absolutely. We deal with a lot of them, and they are terrific.
They are terrific.
Tell me about some of your other local things that you're involved in. I know that, do you still do the bingo with your seniors?
I know that you
talked about how much you got a kick out of that.
I just left.
In 25.
Oh my gosh. I just left. I came before this. I was at the Center of Active Living in Plymouth, and I was speaking to a few seniors there, and we were talking about bingo, and Kingston came up, and I was telling the story that 12 years ago, I walked into the senior center wanting to volunteer for Meals on Wheels, and it was Gretchen Emmets at that time, and knew she needed a bingo caller and talked me into calling bingo, which I still do Meals on Wheels, but you had to have tough skin. If my feelings were hurt easily, I would have left that first day. But over the years, they've become to my dear friends. And when they yell at me, I yell right back. And we, reciprocate that way. And one of my little things I did, every time I would call bingo, I would stand on a chair and do a selfie with all of them. And they come up as memories on Facebook. And as I look, I've lost like my whole first row. And I just think about these people that had the pleasure of meeting and hearing their stories and what their life was like and the jokes that they would tell. I mean, not for primetime TV, some of them. But, I have to say, it's such a great experience for me. And I love it. It's one of the things I'll never give up. I'll be doing it when I'm 85.
See, your whole face is lit up. I knew that. I remember from the first time you mentioned that. Now, going forward into 2024, which I can't even believe that's coming up, what are you going to be? What are the three things you're going to be concentrating on 2024?
Well, personally, I'm going to be concentrating on my health.
Okay.
As I said, I have four children, and I don't think my oldest two are going to have grandchildren. And I had my third when I was older, so I want to be in tip-top health.
Kids get cracking?
My friends are starting to have grandchildren, and I'm so envious. That personally, it's to get back in tip-top shape, and we're out a lot. We go to a lot of events, so it's nutrition's important. But legislatively, again, it's advocating for my district, getting the things that they need. It's constituent service, Christine. That's 90% of my job, 80% of my job is helping people with unemployment, with housing issues, with food insecurity. You know, the RMV, passports have been a big issue lately. But, you know, you really get to make a difference in people's lives, and I enjoy that. My staff enjoys that. Chris enjoys that. Stephanie enjoys that. And we get to meet so many wonderful people that we never would have met. I never would have met you if I didn't have this job, right?
Why, thank you so much.
But there are so many people that I've met, and that make a difference. One, I just have to give a shout out, Sue Giovanetti. I'll be heading over there to help her with the Children's Fund. She had 500 requests this year for toys, and we're still filling bags close to Christmas.
Do you need more things, or do you have
we
enough?
We do not need more things. More hands on deck is a good thing too. We have a system now, and there's a lot of volunteers.
Excellent.
And then again, my legislation, it's really, that officer wellness bill is really dear to my heart, as well as the boater safety and others. We have mental health, you know, is really important to me. Funding for more hospitals for mental health, especially for our adolescents. You know, they're the ones that really need it most, and we don't have enough beds for them. So looking in ways that we can open up more beds for our younger people.
Now, if people are in your district and they're listening, a lot of people think, well, I don't want to bother her. You're the state representative, and you can help with a lot of things. What's the best way to contact your office?
You can always Google me. Every number that's on there, I don't know my office number offhand, but mass.gov, put my name in. You'll get my email, which is kathleen.lenatra@mahouse.gov. My office number will be there, and it will have Chris's number and then my number. But always, never feel like you're bothering me. Never. You know, I return phone calls. It may not be that day, it may be the next morning. Sometimes it's right away and you're shocked. I may be on my computer and see something and it's right away. I do check my emails probably like 11 o'clock at night because I'm so busy during the day, so you may get it late at night. But I'm always willing to talk to someone. If you want it to be private, I'm willing to meet you anywhere to discuss your issues. Or we do have office hours at Cordage Park, where we have an office there at Cordage Park that's manned Tuesday through Thursday. And I do constituent hours throughout the town. You can find that on my Facebook page. Well, Facebook. Everything's on Facebook, right? Everything I post is facts. I'll just put that. So if you want to go on my Facebook page, shoot me a message, you know. I'd be happy to get in touch with you or chat about anything you want to chat about.
That is terrific. And we're going to pop this interview up online, too. And again, that's State Representative Kathy Lenatra of Kingston. Thanks so much for joining us today. Merry Christmas. We'll talk in the new year.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.